get born again, and then they would get scripturally baptized, and the Catholic Church and the Protestants would kill them for it. Now, don't make light of baptism. It's nothing to be light about. When Martin Luther, for years, he refused to go, read some history. People don't read anymore. Read some history. When Martin Luther, most of y'all know who that is, right? When Martin Luther nailed up his 99 theses on that church wall, these things I believe, when he nailed those up and he turned up his town upside down, and people in his church loved him, they followed him, so therefore they said they believed that too. And when word got back to the Pope, the Pope said, somebody tell him I want an audience with him. I need to straighten him out. And he refused to go. Then he began to read the Bible. The next year, it's just growing. And somebody said, the Pope said, tell somebody, tell him I want to see him. And he refused to go. He started preaching against the Pope, called him the Antichrist. He did. He finally, after several years of refusing to go, the Pope told the King of Germany, if you don't send Martin Luther here, I'm going to send my other nations that have armies, and they're going to take over Germany, and you're going to lose your throne. So the King of Germany forced Martin Luther to go see the Pope. When he walked in the room, he did not kiss his ring. And he said, what can I do for you, your hellishness? Yes, he did. He recognized that that church was not a legitimate church. And he recognized that man was certainly not the vicar of Christ, the mouthpiece of God. He recognized that. And all of Germany thought they were set free of the dark ages of the Catholic Church, which refused them the right to learn how to read and write, because if they had that right, they could read the Bible. And by the way, all reformers got saved reading the Bible after they were priests, and they wasn't even supposed to be reading the Bible. The priests didn't read the Bible. They taught church teachings. And Martin Luther had the victory, and he went home victorious, and when he rode into town, they had the Anabaptists, those people who had been baptized twice. They'd been baptized as a baby. Then later they'd heard the gospel, got saved, and now they were being scripturally baptized. The Lutherans, they began to call themselves, hated those people so much that they put them on the end of these long poles on a seat and tied them to that pole, and they would dip them down in the river and hold them under and bring them up and say, deny the baptism or drown in it. And many of them died because they would not deny that baptism. All the reformers, if you'll read their writings about baptism, you'll see that they said our church tradition says pedo-baptism and baptism by sprinkling or pouring, but the scriptures, according to the translation of that word, baptizo, which is they had no word for it other than immerse, and they thought that didn't sound well enough. So the King James translators, they translated it. They said, let's just make an English word that stands for. So it went from baptizo to baptize. And the word, it's a Greek word, means immerse. And all the reformers admit that, every one of them. But see, they had the church tradition of infant baptism and sprinkling and pouring. Those were tradition. And Paul warns us to watch out for the traditions of men. And we left that. Those like us, we left that. Now, I'm not beating up Catholics or Protestants. By the way, Baptists are not Protestants. People that believe like we do were never part of the Catholic Church. There's always been people since the first church that believe just like we do. If you don't believe that, read the book of Acts. They're just like us. Read the letters to the churches. They're just like us. 1st, 2nd Corinthians, 1st Thessalonians, 2nd Thessalonians. They're just like us. That's where we get our church doctrines from. We don't have where we say the church fathers say. We don't have where we say the prayer book number 15, page 345 says. We say, well, the Bible says. I kept saying that one day, and this woman said, will you stop saying that? I said, well, what do you want me to say? She said, what did the Baptist say? I said, the Bible says that's what we say. So whenever you're about to get baptized, most people do not know all that. Because they don't teach that in seminaries anymore. The seminaries teaching, Southern Baptist seminaries, teach people that they came out of the Catholic Church. And we did. We did. And if you're a Protestant and they straighten the mess out, you're going to go back. That's why there's going to be a one world church in the tribulation period. They're all going back. And they're already working on it. I'm gotten way off my point, haven't I? So, baptism. What about baptism? What about it? Is it important? Is baptism important? Does it save anybody? Is there more than one kind of baptism? Do we have a choice on whether to be baptized or not? Now, the day that we live in is a very ecumenical time. Everybody wants to join up with everybody, and everybody wants to get along, and so many compromises are made in order to make joining up. You have to compromise. And there's some things biblically you cannot compromise. You don't have a choice on baptism. I'm going to show you that in just a minute. So let's look at Matthew 28, 19, 20. Real quick. I got a lot of verses. We'll do them real fast. It won't take long. But in Matthew 28, 19, and 20, most of you already know these verses, but you ought to mark them in your Bible anyway. And Jesus is talking before he goes back up to heaven. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to do what? Observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, so that tells me it's not a choice, it's a command. Baptism is a command. And I hear biblically ignorant people say this all the time. Well, I got saved. I believe in Jesus. I've just never been baptized. I just don't feel like you have to be baptized. Well, then why did Jesus say do it? Again, in Mark 16, 15 and 16. Mark 16, basically, same command. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is what? Shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Now some people say, well, you got to get baptized to be saved. But read the scripture. Keep it in context. The whole scripture, not just the first half of it. He said, look at it again. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, it didn't say he that believeth not and doesn't get baptized. It just says he that believeth not. There's no need to get baptized if you don't believe. See? So baptism is not a choice, it's a command. God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, commanded you, yes, to believe on Him, yes, be born again, yes, be saved, but also believe and be baptized. And I'm going to show you why in just a minute. It's commanded. In Acts 2:38, the apostles are preaching. And they said, believe and be baptized. Repent, believe and be baptized, every one of you. And so the apostles said it, and it was a command. So would we agree that to be obedient to Christ, we must be baptized? Would we agree on that? Wait a minute. Amen. In case you hadn't got baptized yet. It is a command. We got to agree on that. It is not a, what do you call it when you get to pick extra things? Help me. Huh? It's not an option. This is not an option. It's not, do you want a red car with or without white seats? You know, it's not an option. Believe and be baptized. It is a command. Amen. We all agree on that. Did you know that it was administered in the New Testament by Jesus, not by Jesus, but by all the apostles, by Ananias, by Philip, by Peter, and by Paul, and the other apostles also are mentioned baptizing people. Now, if they did it, don't you think that we're supposed to keep on doing it? Amen? There's some characteristics of baptism. There's some characteristics of baptism. Acts 10:47. This is going to go a lot faster than anything. Acts 10:47. Turn with me if you will. I'm going to go ahead and read it. Acts 10:47. He said, can any man forbid that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as these? He said, these have been saved. And to those Jews, the way they The way God proved it to the Jews that the Gentiles were being saved is they received the Holy Spirit and sometimes spake in tongues. Because the Jew had to have a sign. But how did he do it? By water. That's what he said. Can anybody refuse water that these don't get baptized? You say, well, the thief on the cross never had water. He never got baptized. He didn't have the opportunity. He never had an opportunity. He never had a choice. But we as Christians usually have a choice on whether or not we want to be baptized. Amen? And by the way, I didn't look up any scripture, but every one of those baptisms were public. I had a preacher friend that he got a woman to come to my church and join my church, another church, not this one. And he told me, he said, I baptized her in her bathtub at her house. That's what I said. He said, well, she got baptized. I said, did she? Because she took a bath in that same bath water, probably. She did not get baptized. It wasn't public. It was secret. She had a secret immersion, and the purpose of a baptism is for your faith not to be secret. I'm going to show you that in just a minute. But he baptized her in a bathtub. That was a compromise because she grew up in a church that didn't believe in immersion, and she was ashamed to do it, to embarrass, whatever the case might be, and she would not get baptized publicly, so he did it at her house. That brings up a question. I see on Facebook these preachers baptizing people in their swimming pool. I'm not against baptizing people in a swimming pool if that's all the water you got, but they're doing it privately. They're doing it privately. Are they really baptized? That's like if a tree falls in the forest and nobody hears it. Does it make a sound? I don't know. But I know this. That person did not make a public profession in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, getting baptized in his backyard where nobody else could see it. Kind of sound like they were ashamed to me. Amen? All right. It's done by water. And then Acts 2:41. It's always Acts 2:41. It's always followed by faith. Acts 2:41. I'm sorry. Acts 2:41. Then they that gladly received his word were what? And that same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Every single last one of them got baptized publicly, immersed. Every one of them did it. Amen. So we know it follows faith. It follows faith. When you believe on Christ, you get baptized. That's not salvation, but it's a part of it. Quit drinking liquor is not a part of salvation. I mean, it's not salvation, but it's a part of it. You'll do it. If you got saved, you'll want to. If you got saved, you'll want to get baptized. If you get saved, amen. Come on, help me.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. I'm putting Presbyterian on there next week. Except they don't nod their head. If the Presbyterians nod, they'd break their neck. The frozen chosen. Amen. Preach, I can't believe you said that. Well, don't believe it. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 5, we've already read it. There's one faith, there's one Lord, and there's how many baptisms? Well, then why do the non-denominational churches and the New Age Baptist churches say, we'll do it however you want to. We'll sprinkle you, we'll pour you, or we'll dip you, or we'll lay you down in it, or we'll squat you in it, however you want to do. If there's only one baptism, there's only one baptism. You say, well, that means into the body of Christ. That's not what it says. It said there's one faith, there's one Lord, and there's one baptism. That's it. So read it however you want to. It comes out the same way every time. It's by water, it follows faith, and there's only one kind. Now, I'm not beating you up if you've never done that. I'm trying to help you see what the Bible says. You can do whatever you want to with it. And you can still go to heaven if you don't get baptized right. You still go to heaven if you don't get baptized at all. But I'm trying to help you be obedient and have the joy of the Lord by being obedient. It'll be one of the most joyous experiences you'll ever have. Now, it doesn't save you. It doesn't even sanctify you. It's figurative. It's figurative. It's symbolic. It's an outward expression of a spiritual unity that you have made with God. I'm going to show you. Galatians 3:27. It's amazing how these baptism goes on and nobody ever tries to tell them why they baptize them or what it stands for. Could it be the one baptizing them doesn't know? You got that right. Galatians. That doesn't make me smarter than them. It just makes me more fortunate to read the Bible. Amen. Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse 27. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into what? Have put on who? There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither is there bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, listen, when you got saved, He baptized you into Christ, into the body of Christ. Would you agree with that? Amen.
Amen.
I held it up one time. Somebody tried to say, ooh, hey. You would agree that if you got saved, you were made a part of Christ. He's made a part of you, so you're in the body of Christ, right? You were baptized in the world. You got me? What do you mean by that, preacher? You were a part of this mass population. You were in there. You were part of that body of people that were not saved. Then when you got saved, He took you out of that body of people and He took you over here and He immersed you into the body of people that are saved. His body. That's what that means. Now, baptism is symbolic of that. He took you out of this old world. The old you died. You were buried in Christ. You became one in Him. And you were resurrected to a new life when you got saved. That's what that means. You can't do that with that. You got to be buried. And it's symbol of we believe in His death and His burial and His resurrection to save us and take us to heaven. And when you got saved, that's what happened. You were baptized into His body. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Am I going too fast? Huh? 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Am I going too fast, Billy? He knows all these scriptures. He used to teach Sunday school. They say he was good at it, but they got mad at him because he started preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit, you said, capital S. Help me, class. What does that mean? One Spirit is what? Holy Spirit. That's a personal pronoun, I guess you would say. Are we all baptized into what? His body of people. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And he goes on to explain how that works. But here's the point. Listen, baptism represents you and I being baptized. Listen, it's symbolic. It's an expression of spiritual unity. And where He takes us out of this body of people that's lost and going to hell, and He puts us into another body of people, and you are immersed in that body. And you lose your identity. Over here there's a bunch of me's. It's all me. Lost people. In His body, it's all Him. So you see, you lost you, and you became part of Him. So what that tells me is you've been put into who? Christ. And now He's in you, and you're in Him. Amen? And that's what that putting under and bringing back up represents. You've been immersed in His body. Now, it's figurative also, and I preached on that this morning, Titus 3:5. If you want to write it down or go look at it. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's figurative of that regeneration that new birth. He said, you got saved because the Holy Spirit washed you. He washed you. Now we know it's because the blood of Jesus been applied to our sins, but we also know that he said by the washing and the regeneration. And what that means is he cleaned you up so much it regenerated you and made you into a new creature. And when you go down in that watery grave, whether you like it or not, you're getting some things washed off. That's what that's symbolic of. And you come back up different. Maybe I ought not tell baptism stories. It's scary. This little boy, he came, he rode the bus to church every Sunday. He rode the bus. He was a little black boy. He didn't know anything about church. His mom was a drug addict. He'd steal if you didn't keep a good eye on him. He thought if it wasn't tied down, locked up, or chained up, that you must not want it and he could have it. Yeah. That's just the way he saw it. I'd be working on church and during school day, he'd come over there and want to know if he could help. He was 11 years old. I said, why are you not at school? Oh, I didn't have school today. I said, I'm going to put lying on top of stealing because you're lying and you steal. But he made a profession of faith and he wanted to get baptized. I said, okay, I'll baptize you. He'd never seen a baptism. So he came to church that day and we had six to baptize. I didn't pay attention to any of them. I preached. I gave the invitation. I turned around, took off my coat. Took off my watch, you know. He walked up them steps. He walked across that platform. I had a baptism pool just like this. And as he was walking across that top platform, the water was turning red like the blood with Egypt in the Nile River. You remember the curse of the river, you know, God turned it. The water turned to red. He still had on his tennis shoes, and he'd walked across a path that was red mud, and every bit of it was in that baptism. He didn't take his shoes off. Nobody told him to take his shoes off. He didn't have any change of clothes. Nobody told him to bring a change of clothes. Didn't have a towel. Nobody told him to bring a towel. And he walked over there and he stood down and he sat down. By then that water was just as red, rust red you'd ever seen. I baptized five people in that rusty water after him. It cleaned some stuff up. Amen. It cleaned some stuff off that little old boy. I wish I could remember his name. It was a funny name too. But that's what that represents. The washing of the regeneration by the Holy Ghost. Your soul, your heart, your mind, your life. Now you get baptized. That's what that represents. You're getting a wash. Amen? Say it that way. Now you're speaking in tongues. I knew it was going to happen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, real quick, and I'm about through. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, I said it's commanded. I said it was administered by the apostles and all church leadership ever since. I said it has characteristics of by water, follows faith, only one. I said it's symbolic of, it's an expression of unity with God the Father. I said it's figurative of regeneration. And now I want to show you it is also symbolic of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now that's where our faith is, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Mormons will come by and read you this scripture and mess it up. I'm going to read it to you right. Okay, we'll skip around a little bit. Start with 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3. Verse 3 says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Skip down, if you will, verse 12. Verse 12, he says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. You see that? Well, I like that. I like that kind of preaching. Look at verse 15. Yea, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. He said, if Christ didn't rise, we're liars. But look at that next verse. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. My goodness. Go down to verse 29 for the sake of time. You ought to read the whole chapter. Verse 29. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? If Jesus didn't rise up from the dead, why'd you get baptized in his name? He's a dead man. If dead don't rise, you got a wasted baptism. Now the Mormon will come to your house today, you can get dead cousins baptized up in heaven, get them up in the third heaven on this verse, and that's why they baptize for the dead. But that's not true. He's talking about Christ. And he said, if Christ didn't rise, then why did you get baptized? Look at verse 42. Verse 42. Y'all still with me? Say amen. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It's sown in corruption. It's raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. You see that? Look at verse 44. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural and there is a spiritual body. Go to verse 47. Verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. That's me and you. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And what he's saying is this, we're going to be like him. And he we're earthy, and he's spiritual, and guess who got baptized? Jesus got baptized. John the Baptist, he come over that hill. John pointed him out when he came. He said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And he come down there, and he said, John, you got to baptize me. And John said, I'm not worthy to even tie your shoes. You need to baptize me. He said, no, that we might fulfill the law. You know what he's saying? I'm not going to do those sins. I'm going to fulfill that law. And I'm going to openly be baptized in front of all these people, not because I need to, but as an example of fulfilling the commands of God. Now you go and tell me you don't have to get baptized to go to heaven. I'll say you sure don't have to get baptized to go to heaven, but you'd sure enjoy the trip a whole lot better if you would. Amen. And you'd be a lot more spiritual minded. And I wouldn't trust a man. Some people are misled, some people are deceived, but some people are misleaders and deceivers. There's been a lot of people misled and deceived in Christendom. Come on. And God help them. God bless them. I'm even talking about preachers and pastors. They go to these stinking seminaries and so-called Bible colleges, and they spend more time correcting the Bible than they do teaching the Bible. And the professors and theologians that stand up and deny the Bible and teach contrary to the Word of God. And that man, since he's a young man, he went in there thinking these people know everything, so I got to catch on to what they know and preach what they know. So they think, well, I was wrong. They go and they get a pulpit and they go home and they preach what they heard there, and they've been misled, so now they're misleading other people. And the guys that started it were the misleaders, not the misled of the devil. Now, I'm not saying that everybody's wrong about baptism, is wrong on everything. I'm just saying, thank God I know it. Thank God I know it. There's a lot of people don't know any better. They've been misled. They've been mistaught. And I'm talking about preachers and pastors too. Good people. Good people. And they ain't going to hell over it. But they have questions. They have questions. They just never get answers because they're taught church tradition, denominational position, come before the Bible does. And those things have the authority to correct the Word of God. You talk to a Catholic. The Catholic Church wasn't even started until after 1000 A.D., and yet they'll tell you the Catholic Church wrote the Bible. So they have the authority to correct it. I said, man, your church wasn't even around. Where'd you learn that at? Well, we've always known that. I said, you know wrong. So, Well, listen, Pastor, what about this baptism? Is it commanded by Christ? It is. How was it administered? First of all, by the apostles, the one that told us how to be saved. Amen? It was administered by the apostles publicly. It's characterized by going down into water and grave, going down into the water. When John baptized Jesus, it says they went down into the water. It follows faith. It's called the only baptism. There's only one. Now, if a man will die over sprinkling, then I'll say, let him have it. I mean, if he's willing to fight and die over that, that he thinks that's the baptism, well, I'm proud of him. I don't agree with him, but I think you ought to pick one and get the scripture to prove it and live or die by it. People tell me, well, preacher, I believe the Bible's the inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God, not one mistake in it. And I say, okay, put one in my hands. And they say, well, I can't. There used to be, but there's not one anymore, so we just have to take all these different translations and put them together. I said, okay, so you decide what the Word of God is and is not. I said, if you believe the New American Standard Version is the inspired Word of God, why don't you say that? If you believe the NIV is the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God, why don't you say that? Instead of saying we used to have one, we don't have one anymore, so we just got to trust publishing houses and crooked people to get us what we need. And I'm the same way about baptism. Hey, if you'll stand on your baptism and you don't agree with me, hey, I'm all for you. That's called a conviction, something you'll die for. But if your baptism is just a preference, and by the way, a lot of Baptists, it's just a preference. They don't know what the Bible says about baptism. They prefer to do it this way because Mama did it this way, and Daddy did it this way, and Grandpa did it this way. And you see what I'm saying? It's not that they would die over that, like the Lutherans killing the Anabaptists. It's just they prefer it that way. You say, well, why did you get immersed? Well, that's the way we've always done it. Well, Mama did it. You know, Daddy did it. Preacher said you're supposed to do that. What happened to the Word of God? Everything I believe is right here in this book. You know, I don't even go by my feelings. After I got saved and started reading the Bible, I found out I was dead. I died when I got saved. And when I went to get baptized that night, I didn't even know what baptism was. I didn't know they was having baptism. I'd never been to church for two Sunday nights. The third Sunday night, Preacher Fogenberry said, you getting baptized tonight? I said, am I supposed to? He said, yeah, the Bible says believe and be baptized. I said, let's do it. I didn't ask what mode. If he'd sprinkled me, I probably would have been happy with it because it wouldn't know any difference. Hey, the Bible said do it, let's do it. Bible says, partake in the Lord's Supper. Remember Him till He comes. Let's do it. If it's true, let's stand on it. Let's do it. But see, Christianity has become so watered down and so weak, nobody will have a conviction and nobody wants to hurt anybody's feelings. And by the way, this kind of preaching ought not hurt anybody's feelings. It's enlightening. It's enlightening. And I'm not against people that baptize different. I just don't agree with them. Now, some of them would drown me. But I wouldn't drown none of them. Well, I would if I could do it with a bottle of water. That's what they call waterboarding, ain't it? The Methodist waterboard. So tonight, we're going to baptize. But you know what? It won't save not one soul. It won't wash away one sin. But it is symbolic of such. It won't get one person in heaven, but it's symbolic of a spiritual act, not a physical act. And you know what? I've never met anybody that got baptized that later on said, I hate I got baptized. Never. I've never met anybody that had really been born again that later on said, I hate I got saved. You ever met anybody like that? No. Now, you might have met a professor that they professed it, but they didn't possess it, that I hated I joined the church. But I ain't never met anybody that said, I hate I'm going to heaven. I've never met anybody that said, I hate being obedient to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
I need help, fellas. We're going to pray. Rudy, you and Rick, grab this top. Vaughn, if you will, grab those. Can you get those steps over there for me? Rudy and Rick. Let Rick get the steps. You help Rudy with the get the steps. Piano player's coming. We're going to sing a hymn while they're coming. We're going to sing a hymn. Come on, brother. Lead us in a hymn, Brother Dan. Don't dump everything in the water. We'll have...